And this is the Council Connection Show with Michael Goodrich on the first Wednesday of each month on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. And welcome to our show this month. I hope you have enjoyed this beautiful weather today. I'm quite glad our weatherman gets it wrong sometimes, because it's been forecast for rain last few weekends and it hasn't happened. And I really appreciate that. So that's a nice change in the weather. So hopefully, yep, you're about down and about getting a walk in the beautiful Upper Yarra or Yarra Valley, wherever you're living at the moment. And today we've got some great guests on board. We have Kelly McPherson from Council and Andrea, who are talking about the Change Makers program they've just finished off. So let's talk about what's that all about and where to from next for those people who are involved in the Change Makers program. And after a bit of a song break, we've got the newly formed Lilibao Community House, who's just launched. I have Sue Yin talking about, who's the new coordinator of the Community House, talking about all things what's happening in Lilibao. Very exciting to see a new Community House being launched in the Yarra Ranges, which is actually the home of Community Houses. We're the very first council to have a Community House in our area, so excited to see a new one coming up as well. And they will be joined by Emma from the in Yarra Junction libraries as well, to talk about what's happening in the libraries and some things up and coming as well. And lastly, we're going to be joined by Tracy Reid, talking about the Regional Communities Recovery Committees, which is a big, long acronym, the RCRCs, but we'll hear more about that at the end of the show. But first off, welcome, Kelly. Welcome, Andrea.
Hi there, everyone.
Thank you. So, thanks for the opportunity to pop along today and have a little bit of a chat about Council's Community Changemakers Leadership Program, which has recently come to an end. So it finished up last month. And, Council, we were pretty lucky to team up with a team of expert facilitators in Liminal by Design, Tangent Consulting and Hattrick & Co. to roll out the course. And when we popped the expression of interests open to everyone across the region, we had lots of interest in the program, which is fantastic. And basically what resulted was we had 16 fabulous community members recently graduate from the course. They came from all walks of life, all corners of the Yarra Ranges, and basically they got to participate in a 10-session program over a few months, and it was all based around the asset-based community development approach. So it's all about sort of focusing on the assets that sit within community already in townships and neighbourhoods. And I guess we're fortunate Andrea's joined us today. We're gonna dig a little bit deeper into her experience about some of the topics that she's worked through and some of her experiences and I guess what's on the cards in her world with some of the learnings that she's taken away from the program. So I wanted to mention too, it was obviously with COVID, we were hoping to do a lot of face-to-face, a mix of face-to-face and online, and pesky COVID threw a spanner in the works and that wasn't to happen. So we ended up doing the entire course online, which I guess turned out to be, with COVID and the June storm events, it turned out to be a real-life resilience-building experience for us on the go. I'm going to hand over without further ado to Andrea, and we'll have a little bit of a chat about her experience in the program. So welcome, Andrea. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Kelly. It's great to be here.
Fantastic. I wanted to ask, so when you heard about the Community Changemakers program, what motivated you to put your hand up and pop in an expression of interest?
When I first heard about the program, I was immediately excited about it because I'm already a member of a small community based in Montrose, and I was really keen to see how I could actually potentially learn, new skills so I could bring more people into our local small community. And so that was the motivation, like how could I improve myself and hope to motivate other people to become part of their community.
Fantastic. So thinking about that and thinking about those tips and tricks and tools that you wanted to pick up from the program to take back to your group in Montrose, what were some of the main takeaways that you were actually able to pull out of the course content, learning from the facilitators but also your fellow community leaders out there?
I would probably say I'm a fairly practical person, and I need to have guidelines, templates, you know, project management tools to actually, I guess, look at the big picture, to be able to analyze the situation and then sort of make a plan from there. So throughout the sessions, we had some amazing content to learn about, but there was one particularly interesting session that I loved. It was called Moving Towards Action and Creating Change. So that really spoke to me about, okay, I need to have this little, I guess, a template or a toolkit that I could work from. And what that session did, it encouraged our group to like create a vision for our projects. And then it actually provided useful, practical tools. And they used this technique that was called creating a story spine. So it's based on that, I guess, that once upon a time concept. So we had the opportunity to draft as individuals and then share our, I guess, our story spine with the group. But it started with that once upon a time there was a group that, you know, either, you know, lacked members or wanted to grow their membership base. So you could visualize it all the way through this story to the happy conclusion. So that was really practical for me. And that was, I think that was probably the session that really helped me the most, that I could sit through and visualize what I wanted the outcome to look like and then the steps to take it there. So that was a really practical session for me. And there was another amazing part of the 10-session course, and we had the privilege to meet with Wurundjeri Elder Uncle Dave Wandon. And I'd been wanting to meet him for a long time. And as you said, we had to go online and we were hoping to meet in person up at Corranderk, so on country there. So that would have been amazing. But, you know, we had to go with the flow and actually just do a Zoom session with him. But that was just amazing. And he was really generous with his time, talking about his experiences of being a leader in the community, what his responsibilities and I guess the privileges that he has, but also the challenges that he faced. And some of the things that he said were just really inspirational, and some of the words that resonated with me were, he said, leaders understand the people they're leading, spend time getting to know, talking about them and what they've achieved and making it personal. And another thing he said is understand your limitations. And he said, pass those gaps on to someone else. So that really, I guess, allowed a lot of us to step back and go, we cannot do everything in our groups. If we're not particularly good at something, find someone else who's better at it than you are. So it kind of gave us that permission not to have to be perfect at everything. So that was another really inspiring session that I learned a lot from.
Yeah, and Andrea, look, I was fortunate to sit in on that session with Uncle Dave Wandon, and I agree, what a complete privilege it was. And if anyone's an expert in going with the flow, it's Uncle Dave. And I remember a quote that stood out for me was, just start before you're ready. You don't have to have everything lined up. Just start before you're ready, and things will fall into place. And I think he did mention too, somewhere along the line, that you got to keep that fun element in there too, where you can, and not take things too seriously. So yeah, and an absolute privilege to have him along. And we were fortunate in that session too to have a number of other community leaders that we learnt from across the region, existing community leaders that shared their insights as well. You know, across lots of different areas, so community development, but arts and heritage as well in our creative corner. So it was a real highlight. So I guess, you know, it's pretty sad that the course came to an end and we weren't able to actually physically meet each other face to face. But I'm sure you'd agree, Andrea. How did you find connecting with other emerging and aspiring leaders in the group, even though it was online? What was your takeaway from that?
I mean, connection is a word that kept coming up for me, and, you know, connecting with others in our community is really important. And I know that at the start, when we were getting that sense of we may not be able to meet each other at the end, I know a lot of people were disappointed, but I know we're on Zoom and we had that opportunity to have breakout rooms and, you know, meet other people virtually. I still feel a really strong connection to those people, and I feel that once we can actually get out into the community again and meet face to face, I think that will definitely happen. And, you know, the diversity of people in that group, and I love that there was so many different amazing people doing fabulous things already in their course. I mean, you know, we talked about what a leader is, and you don't need to have that title of being a leader to be a leader. And, you know, there was people that were doing work with people with disabilities, people working with people helping to improve mental health in the community, simple things in Healesville about getting people to care for their physical environment, not rubbishing. So, you know, collecting rubbish on the roadsides. And, you know, there were so many different amazing, you know, things that were already going on in these small kind of projects that, you know, I guess people just want to grow. And I really encourage people, if you're thinking about wanting to be connected with your community, get out there, find something that you're passionate about. You know, if you want to care about the environment, if you want to care about animals, other people, there's something to meet your needs. So find something that you already love and connect with other like-minded people. And that connection is really, really important. And I can see that in the Yarra Rangers. We're really lucky to have some amazing, creative, artistic, fun people that care about other people. And I think now more than ever, that's so important that we find those, I guess, commonalities when there may be a little bit of division in some parts, you know, going on at the moment. I think finding that connection is so important.
Yeah, totally agree, Andrea. And I guess that connection that came through in the course as well, there were individuals with great ideas that weren't connected, and now they are connected and they're looking at those networks and supporting each other. So an absolute takeaway, yeah, connection and networks and supporting each other. And I think the online space provided a real safe environment for people to test and trial ideas and bring people out of their shells. We had a few self-confessed introverts in the group, and to see them develop over the 10 sessions was quite remarkable, and we were quite proud of their you know, their growth throughout the course. So we had a couple of participants that weren't sure whether, you know, they were capable enough, if you could say that. And like you say, you don't have to have the leader of a title, the title of a leader to be involved. So I guess what's one burning thing that, you know, you're going to take back to your Montrose environment group and rally everyone around and roll on with as a result?
Well, once we can get back together again, because I would really want to do this face-to-face, so we have regular, you know, meetings, and so when we can actually get together and do a meeting, I want to bring back, I guess, the knowledge and the, you know, that I've learned through the course and sit down and create a plan together. So, you know, we have that template for a plan now. We can look at what the obstacles may be to preventing, you know, new membership growth. And that seemed to be a common, I guess, obstacle for probably most people I spoke to in the course. You know, there's always people that are stretched for time, and it seems to be the same small group of people out there doing community work. But, you know, being able to go, okay, what is the obstacle for people joining a group? Is it the time? It's a different time on the weekend. Maybe Saturday's not so good because it's a sports day or whatever. So that was another really interesting part of the course I learned, is looking at the systems and the obstacles that are holding back, you know, growth in a group. So being able to sit down with my group, the Montrose Upper Landcare group, and say, you know, where are the things that we need to, we could potentially make changes, and then, you know, taking that obstacle away may help that growth. So, you know, playing around with different things to see what works and what doesn't. So I feel confident that, you know, I can take that to our group now and say, here's what I've learned, and let's try a few different things now.
Perfect. Great insights there. And thank you so much for popping along today to share your experience too, Andrea. Really, really fantastic. And I guess to quickly wrap things up, it is the first leadership course of this type that Council has offered since 2008. And based on the positive feedback that we've received from everyone to date, it's likely there'll be another course offered in future. So please watch this space if you're interested in community leadership, interpersonal skills, storytelling, testing and trialing ideas and putting them into action, future courses might be for you. So we had the underlying course mantra of what is the change you want to see, and that's what we'll continue to take forward, and we're looking forward to seeing what our course graduates come up with in their own communities. So thanks for having us along.
Thank you, Andrea, and thank you, Kelly. It's amazing to hear that journey so far for you, and I guess very challenging times to go through all of that flip-flopping of going to Zoom and still staying connected I'm just, you know, so excited about getting out there again and being able to reconnect and go from here. So really beautiful to hear that story. And Kelly, you produce a community newsletter that people can get in contact with to find out what upcoming workshops are happening and opportunities like this. So how can people get in contact and find out more around the new opportunities coming through the Grants Team of Council?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Michael. Yeah, we do have a skill building and grants newsletter. So reach out to us at grants@yarrarangers.vic.gov.au and we'll happily sign you up to our newsletter and you'll be able to keep across everything, including when we launch our new Community Changemakers program.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Kelly. And thank you so much, Andrew, for your time today. And really excited to hear the next chapter of your group and coming into next year, what you guys can do and bring all those learnings to into the real world. So we're now heading off to a bit of a song break. And after that, we'll join with Su Yin Chan from the new Lilidale Community House. And welcome back to Yarra Valley FM, and you're here with the Council Connections Show. And our next guest is Su Yin Chan from the new Lilidale Community House. Welcome, Su Yin.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, good. And so excited to be here with you. And this new community house happening in Lilidale, it's been a bit of a long road making this happen, and obviously it's been supported by department and council and a number of groups making it happen. But now you're open for business. And now got a home as well in Lilidale. So tell us about how this community house came to be and what your role is there.
Okay, so we've actually only been operating for 6 weeks now. This is our sixth week. We've started in lockdown and we're still in lockdown.
Yes.
But we actually do have a home, which is at 7 Hardy Street, which is the senior citizens building in Lilidale. And it came out of consultation in the Lilidale community through various events which were held by Yarra Rangers Council. And it was also seen by various organisations and departments as a very large growth area with new estates happening and so on. And there's never been a community house in Lilidale, from my understanding. Mm. So this is an organisation which is being auspiced by the Community Houses Association of the Eastern Suburbs with support from Yarra Rangers and the Victorian State Government. And as I said, we've been only doing this for 6 weeks, and it's been an extreme challenge, to say the least.
Yeah,
we've been able to be in there.
Yeah, we've had a conversation about that. It's like great that you can open, but just such a challenging time to start a new community house when you can't open the doors. You're on Facebook, yes, and you've been able to do stuff online. So I think you're very eager to be able to get in person and start to run some courses and classes. So tell us about how people can connect with and find out more about the what's happening at the Lilidale Community House.
Well, at the moment, all we've got is a Facebook page. So if people just search for Lilidale Community House on Facebook, they'll find us. We've started running some online sessions. So we've had things like mindfulness moments, which we've run for the last couple of Tuesdays, and the people participating have been keen to continue. So that'll be ongoing until we can get to physically be in the space. We've also had a gardening session, and we've started a series of Know Your Local Community groups, because there is a lot going on in Lilidale. Not everyone knows what they are. So we've had one session with the Lilidale Historical Society, and we've got one with the Lilidale RSL coming up shortly, and a few others are being lined up. And we've done a survey. We've had a good response to the survey about asking people what they'd like to see at a community house. And I think the overwhelming feeling from everybody is that they just want some social connection, somewhere where they can turn up, have a cuppa, sit down, have a chat with others, find out what programs are going on, maybe find resources that can help them in other areas. And that's been the overwhelming, understanding from the surveys and from my discussions with a lot of the local groups like the Township Group and a few of the others. I think a lot of the feedback is also around not just meeting people but sharing skills and sharing resources and having a place to learn things. And things that have been suggested, for example, are social groups, craft groups, health resources, book club, hobby clubs, activities for young people, and quite a bit of discussion around providing a place for people who are more vulnerable to get meals.
Yes.
And we have actually have got something actively going at the moment with Nanak Mission, who provide meals to people in the area on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And they've only been going for about 4 weeks themselves, and they already provide 150 meals on a Sunday within 2 hours.
That's incredible. Yeah. And so it's so people aren't aware where the Seniors Hall is in Lilydale. It's next door to the Lilydale Bowls Club. So it's that building next door to that as well. And I'd be really excited to see you be able to open those doors and start to run some classes. But it's been amazing to see you be able to start to really jump online and offer this course. Like I think you said, like people are just really keen to start to reconnect. And so now it's a really great time for people who live in Lilydale or connected to Lilydale some way to reach out to yourself and find the Lilydale Community House on the Facebook page and reach out, because I think it sounds like you're very open to responding to what community's interests and passions and needs are. So now's a really great time to start the conversation with yourself and with the Community House to see what people in the community in Lilydale, what could the Community House be offering them.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we'll welcome all options, discussions, suggestions, and we'll try to cater for as many of them as we can. We are co-sharing with the senior citizens, and we're co-sharing with a number of other groups in the building. So our hours are limited at the moment, but, you know, we hope that in future we may be able to have more hours, or we will use other buildings to run programs, which may not be just the senior sits, but it might be next door at the Bowls Club. We're lining up some men's health programs at the RSL into the future. And one of the other things we'd like to do is be able to be a point where people that need internet connection or learn how to use their phone or any of the basic technology can come in and learn that as well. So we want to be as accessible as possible and have as many things happening as we can.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens in the space as well coming forward and get able to connect. So if people do want to reach out and find out more or speak to you, how can they get in contact?
Okay, so they can either hop onto our Facebook page. At the moment, we haven't got a website, but we're working on it. Our email is very long, so it might be easier if they contact us on our mobile at the moment, which is 0493 150 176.
Beautiful.
Or they can contact you. You can.
Yes. Or contact council as well on 1300 368 333, or email mail at yarrangers.gov.au, and we can be able to put in contact as well. So if you jump on Facebook and just search Lilydale Community House, you'll be the first research result top there, and you'll be able to find out all those online programs now on offer, but also the kind of details too as well to reach out and connect to your community in Lilydale as well. Well, thank you so much, Sue, and I'd love to join you again maybe next year when we see what's happening in regards to the Community House and some new activities there as well. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And our next guest today is Emma, who's situated in the Yarra Junction Community Library. How are you, Emma?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. And I'm looking, we're obviously still all online, so I'm at home in my garage, and so Yin's, I think, is at home as well. But you are on site in the library at Yarra Junction. I can see your beautiful blue hair as well. People are listening now, so it's very happy hair you've got there. What's happening in the libraries? Keep us smiling.
So we are still here doing call and collect. We've been doing this through all the lockdown. So that means that anyone in the community who is a library member can call us and request some books, or they can jump on our website and put some reserves on books through our online catalogue. But yeah, we're still here, and we're still here to take calls as well if you need any help with signing up to the library, or if you're looking for a particular item to borrow from the library. So maybe you're, you know, getting a lot of calls from people saying, I'm really interested in this topic, or I'm really enjoying this particular genre of book. So we're getting a lot of families with children saying, you know, my child's starting to read, like their reading's starting to advance a bit more. What do you recommend? So we are still here for all of those reader advisory chats. And, you know, look, we get the odd phone call as well for people needing help with using our website, finding things on our website, and using any of the apps that are linked in with our website and the library as well.
Yeah, lovely. So people do want to speak to you in person. What's your phone number?
That is a good question. It's best to call us on our 1300 number, which I do not know off the top of my head. Michael's testing me. Here
it is. Put you on the spot.
It's 1-300-737-277. And when you call, it'll give you an option to talk to your library branch. Otherwise, you can be transferred to other libraries and they can help you too.
Yeah, lovely. So we've got obviously the beautiful Healesville Library in the memo, and Yarra Junction, right? Yeah. Yarra Junction as well. So you've got the two libraries up in the valley and up Yarra.
Yeah.
For us to enjoy. Like you said, it's still click and collect, so people can go online and click and collect. Or if they want like a phone call, they can arrange it by the phone as well. And you can find out more about those apps that you're available. So you can obviously download your e-reading books, or you can go to Canopy and watch some great movies and some fantastic kids educational videos, but also some fun stories as well. I think I've read some with my son on Canopy. There's some great little animations of some storybooks, and one's called Spoon. So if you jump on that, it's a beautiful story about a spoon. Sounds cool, but yeah, beautiful. Some great stuff there to keep kids entertained as well. And you still, I know people who aren't able to get out and about, who are unable to jump in a car or walk down to the library. You do home deliveries as well for those people who are unable to be mobile.
Yeah, look, it's best to get on our website and contact us through there, because there is a certain criteria for the home services. But look, we do our best. What we're finding is a lot of people that maybe can't get out of the house, they're calling and arranging for a family member, or if they've got a carer or someone supporting them, to come and pick up the package on the way through. So it's always worth just giving us a call. But there is more information on the website if the home service is of use. Otherwise, we do have a really large digital collection. So as we said, as you said earlier, Michael, there's, you know, there's e-books, there's audio books, there's lots of information that you can access online as well. And we understand that can be really daunting for some people. So, you know, we do encourage you to give us a call and we can try and talk you through it as best we can. And there's also some events on. So even though we're not open at the minute, we are trying to shift a lot of our events and programs online. So a good example is we have a family and local history talk tomorrow. All about the importance of, you know, local history and why it's important to your family history. So that's a really interesting one that's online tomorrow at 2 p.m. And all our story times, all the children's story times are being recorded or offered live, and you can find them on our Facebook page or our YouTube page if that's something that you're interested in. And they're really great. So there's lots of activities and pre-recorded story times that they can access as well.
Yeah, beautiful. And to people find out more, you can go to yourlibrary.com.au and all information there about the online programs, but contact details as well, and information about the apps that you can download if you wish to on your phone or tablet or your personal device. And if you do need help, yep, just call the library there and they'll be able to, someone can talk you through any assistance you need to get digitally engaged as well. Thank you so much, Emma, for your time today, and I really hope next time we'll be able to catch up and hear more about what's happening, because it'll be the moving up to getting ready for the school holidays. So fingers crossed we'll see some more things happening at the libraries during the school holidays too.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Michael.
Cheers. Thanks, Emma. We're going to cut to a song, and afterwards we've got a little pre-recording conversation with Tracy Reid from Council talking about the Regional Community Recovery Committees, which are run by Council, coming up, and just the EOI process is closing tomorrow, and an information session is on tonight at 7 p.m. So we'll hear more about that. Well, we were talking about the Council, the Regional Community Recovery Committees from Council, and so these Regional Community Recovery Committees were set up for Council to respond to the COVID and storm impacts for community members. And so there will be four of these community regional recovery committees set up in the Yarra Ranges, so one for each area of the Yarra Ranges, so one in the hills, the valley, Upper Yarra, and for the urban area. And what these are, as a member, there's an Express Interest open now. So if you go to shaping.yarrarangers.vic.gov.au, you'll be able to find out more information about the regional community recovery committees. But the idea behind these committees is that we'll be appointed community members of 9 or 12 community members for each committee, and they'll have a pool of $200,000 to identify response and initiatives to respond to the impacts of COVID and the storm as well. So they will have a committee to be informed around the impacts of COVID and the impacts of the storm, and then as a group, identify initiatives that can be support community recovery for their area. So they'll be focusing on, for ourselves, it'll be the Upper Yarra or the Valley, one of the community for each of those, and identify initiatives to support community's recovery from those, the impacts of those COVID and the storm as well.
Now, I know these things have been open for a while in the community. I've heard news about them. Do you know what sort of response the council's had?
Yeah, we had quite a good response. I know from Upper Yarra and Valley, we've had quite a few response people wanting to be part of the committee, so it's been really good. And obviously the hills, those areas have been really particularly impacted on the storm as well. But there are still some spots available if you wish to put your interest in to be part of the committee. The Express just closes tomorrow at 5 p.m. So again, if you want to go onto shaping.yarrarangers.vic.gov.au, and you'll see a little link there for the regional community recovery committees. Response has been really good, but so maybe this is the committee is something that you'd be quite interested in being involved in, and they'll be, those committees will decide on themselves how they'll meet and how they'll make decisions, and they'll put those recommendations to council for those responses. But if that's not for you, there's still ways to be involved, because those committees will then be talking to and hearing from different community members and community groups for their input around what they see as ways to respond to the impacts of COVID and impacts of the storm as well. So there's really two ways to be involved. You can think about, yes, I'm involved committee and being part of that decision-making process and meeting on a regular basis and really learn about all the impacts. But if that's not for you, there's still ways you can be involved and still inform those committees by presenting to them or engaging with them and saying, well, here's what I hear in my community or in our township group or in our group around ways we think we can support the recovery initiative as well. So it's great if you're being part of the committee, fantastic, but no, that's not for everyone as well. So there'll still be future opportunities for you to be involved in supporting those initiatives. But like I said, there's $200,000 for each committee, so $800,000 in total to identify response and some initiatives that what does resilience type initiatives look like for your community, your area as well.
Yeah, it sounds. I'm quite impressed actually that the council's setting the system up so that there's so much community input and people can have a direct role in this rather than just waiting on the councillor and then the council workers to do something.
Yeah. And people aren't aware, the community recovery committees, their backgrounds are really from bushfire affected areas. So the bushfires back in 2009, there's multiple of those CRCs set up by communities and supported by the agencies to look at recovering from those storm impacted areas. So they're really evidence-based approach to this. And this is our council's way of using that model and focusing on the storm and focusing on COVID as well. So really wanted to have that really forefront community-led initiatives and response, and council there to support that through financially, but also through providing this mechanism to have a voice and have this collective impact as well.
Excellent stuff, Michael. Now, we've covered a lot of ground in this show, and for people who want to do things like find out about the grants that we talked about at the start or anything else, or get in touch with the library about, home deliveries, the council phone number.
Yes, council phone number is 1300 368 333. So 1300 368 333, or you can email mail@yarrarangers.vic.gov.au. So if there's any information you want to find out about today's show, you can throw the contact details there. And there's a number of community news as we send out as part of that. I do one for the Upper Yarra, covered a lot of grants, but we can easily get in contact with those people who anything about today or other previous shows you've heard about as well. They're the kind of details. We'd love to connect with you and help you connect with your local community as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Michael Goodrich. And Michael will be back for the Council Connection show the first Wednesday of next month, and always has a great list of guests and lots of great information for us all.
Yeah, thank you so much, Greg. And also, to let you know, if you want to be talk about your community group, what you're doing, I'd love to have you as a guest as well. So please do reach out those contact details at Council to get with me, and I'd love to have you as a guest on the show too if you have something that you want to share.
Okay, there you go, community group people. You can get on radio, have a chat with Michael and all our listeners about what you're doing and what you hope to do.